So, as you've heard, this is the third and the last in our series, Big Bad Wolf, where we're looking essentially at false teaching or wrong ideas or stuff that's just wrong. Sometimes people are quite sincere, sometimes they're not, sometimes they have right motives, sometimes they have wrong. And a couple of weeks ago, our team leader was here, Simon, and he was talking about the deceiver. Somebody who would definitely have the wrong motives. They're bad and, they're even evil people. But how do we know these people? How do we know them? Well, we know them by their fruit. That's what Simon was saying to us. We know them by what they consistently say and what they consistently do, how they behave. We know them by their fruit. But we must be careful and must be aware of them. And then last week, Steph was here. She was talking about the troublemaker. The troublemakers, people who are both insincere, but they're also dangerous. They're sort of Jekyll and Hyde characters. Now, if you've missed either of those two great talks, can I really, really encourage you to go onto our website and listen to them? Really, they're really excellent, and I wouldn't want you to miss them. So today I'm going to be talking about the heretic. The heretic. These are people who often they've got good motives, but they maintain and they propose beliefs that are contrary to Christian thinking, Christian teaching. They're usually very sincere, actually. They really are. They've got the right motives, but they're wrong. That's the point. They're absolutely wrong. Now, of course, being sincere and wrong is not confined entirely to the Christian world or religious world. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples. These are a couple of my favourites. I could have given you, there's loads and loads of them. But all the way back in 1878, a man called Sir William Preece. I know, you've never heard of him. But Sir William Preece was the chief engineer of the British Post Office. And he said this. No, he didn't say that. Oh, hello. What happened there? No, that's not going to work. Yeah, and he said this. And he was talking about the telephone, which had just been invented. And he said, the Americans have need of the telephone, but we do not. We have plenty of messenger boys. He was sincere when he said that. He was, in fact, quite an expert on communications. And he believed what he was saying. But he really couldn't have been more wrong. And this, this one is the classic, and you may well know this one. This was in 1962, and I feel sorry for this guy, because an executive at Decca Records declined to sign the Beatles. Do you remember this? Not only did he do that, but he said this. He said, we don't like their sound, and guitar music is on the way out. He was sincere. He really was. He believed what he was saying, but he was wrong. Yeah, he was absolutely wrong. So we must be aware, we must be careful of the dangers of such wrong teaching, even when people are really sincere. And by the way, sometimes people say to me, these elders that you have in the church, what are they supposed to be doing? Because you've got leaders, you've got elders. What is the point of elders? Well, this is exactly the point, one of the main points, to make sure that the teaching in this church is absolutely right and in line with the scriptures. So if you've ever wondered, that's what we're doing. So we need to be careful. We need to be on guard, though people who are often sincere in their motives, well, at least there's an opportunity to change their minds and get them thinking in the right way. So this morning we're going to look at some verses from a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul that can really help us with all of this. And Paul is a really interesting case in point about the heretic. Was he a heretic? Well, it depends. It depends on which point of view you come from. Because when he was known as Saul and he was a Pharisee, he was, in fact, protecting what was then the accepted and mainline Jewish religion, which was that God deals with sin through keeping the commands. And when he saw these so-called followers of Jesus going around teaching something else, of course, he went after them and he persecuted them. But was he a heretic? Well, not really from a Jewish point of view. But from a Christian point of view, and Christians then, followers of Jesus, were saying that the way that God has dealt with sin is through Jesus on the cross. There is no other way. So from that point of view, you could argue that Paul was a heretic, but that's not what I really wanted to do this morning. And in any case, when Saul, as he was then, was on his way up to Damascus, of course, he meets with Jesus. And like everybody since who authentically meets with Jesus, his life was completely changed. So we're going to have a look at some verses this morning that he wrote in a letter to his friend and sort of apprentice, if you like. He was mentoring him, a chap called Timothy. Young guy, probably in his 20s, and Paul is writing to him. This is the second letter that we have that you can find in the second part of the Bible called the New Testament. Just a little bit of background for you. When he wrote this letter, Paul was in prison. He was in jail. He was in a dungeon in Rome. We know from the way that he wrote these letters that he didn't expect to live very much longer. And yet, he still writes an encouraging letter. And that's something that we can all take on board. Whatever our circumstances, some of us will be here this morning and life's not quite so good and so on and so forth, but we can still encourage each other. And that's a really important point. So he starts off his letter by reminding Timothy of what Jesus has done. That's how he starts off. And he says, because of this, you should not be timid. You haven't been given a timid spirit. Don't be timid because of what Jesus has done. And wherever you can, share the gospel, share the good news of Jesus Christ. But he says, and he warns Timothy, he says, people will become self-centered, they'll become pleasure-seeking and lovers, and they're never, ever really going to know the truth, a lot of people, because they're following the wrong doctrine. And then he writes this at chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, you, Timothy, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. What is he really saying here? If you were here 2 weeks ago, cast your mind back to what Simon was telling us. We know him by his fruit. He's saying to Timothy, you know me. You know all about me. You've seen me. You've seen what I do. You've seen what I consistently do. Whether it's good or bad, whether I'm being persecuted, whatever. You know me. You can trust me because you know me by the fruit of my teachings and the sufferings and the persecutions that I've gone through. And what does Paul do, essentially, in his teachings? Well, you can read his letters. You can read this particular letter. It only takes about 15 or 20 minutes to go through. Oh, is that moving on by itself? Yes. Oh, okay. Whatever. But that's the point. Paul is always pointing people to Jesus. And you can read these letters for yourself. He's always pointing people to Jesus. And he says, you know that. You know all about me. You know what I do. But he does say that he's endured lots and lots of different persecutions. And then he goes on to say, in fact, yes, that's the one. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And this is really addressing a heresy that is around today. It's become known as the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel, which says, if you follow Jesus, your life's going to be fantastic. You'll never have any problems. You'll always have loads of money. You'll never be ill. People really, really do preach this gospel. And it's a heresy. And here is Paul really addressing this, isn't he? He's saying, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And he's just reflecting what Jesus himself taught. So beware of that. That is definitely wrong, and that's a heresy. But he goes on to say, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So people will start teaching stuff that's just wrong. But they in turn will be deceived. Who is going to be deceiving the deceivers? Well, the devil himself, Satan himself. That's who it is. That's who's going to get into these people. And they in turn are going to be deceiving others. But he goes on to say, can you click it on? But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Paul is one, obviously. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. We know, because he writes in other places, that his mother and his grandmother taught him from a very small child what the Holy Scriptures said and what they were. And that would be what we today call the Old Testament and all the stories about Jesus. Really important lessons for us as a church. It's so, so important to teach people from a young age about Jesus. And here Paul is really affirming that's really important. But he also says that he must stand firm, continue in what you have learned. Stand firm in the things that you've learned, even though deceivers, that's these evil people inside and outside of church, will go from bad to worse. But he does say that the Holy Scriptures will make us wise. They can make you wise. See, the Spirit speaking through the Scriptures can make us wise. I've found this in my own life. It can help us to think new patterns, see new things that we hadn't seen before. We can understand ourselves and we can understand others. And of course, it helps us to understand God. And then finally, these verses, which I have committed to memory, because for me, they are just so, so important, and hopefully they will be for you. He writes, all Scripture is God-breathed. Some translations have inspired. They put the word inspired in there. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So let's think about those. He says that all Scripture is good for teaching. Well, of course it is. Of course Scripture is really good for teaching, but only if you read it, of course, and then do what it says. Rebuking, informing us, telling us when we're just not in line with God's will. We're doing things that are really off the mark, going the wrong way. And I've found this definitely in my own life. Sometimes it's obvious. You know, you'll read some verse and you think, my goodness, that's me. I need to think about this. I need to pray about this. And sometimes it's not, it's more subtle. But you will hear from God if you're willing and you're listening. And he will rebuke you. Correcting. Also translated as improving. Scriptures can improve us. Improve us in the sense of, you know, when we might say we're making home improvements, that sense of making the improvement, making it better. Scriptures can make it better. And then training in righteousness, being right with God, doing the things that are in line with God's will, which are a combination of goodness and justice. Behavior that God wants to see in followers of Jesus. So what is Paul saying essentially in these verses this morning? He's saying that life's never going to be easy. You know, don't misunderstand, it's never going to be a bed of roses for those who live out this gospel or who preach the gospel. But with scripture in your head and in your heart, he writes, you will be able not only to hold on to the truth and grow in faith, but to teach others also. So, so important. They're so important for us spiritually, and they're so important for us practically. Now, you may be here this morning and you may know someone who is just following either the wrong teaching, or they've got the wrong ideas, or they're just going wrong, you know, about God or about the Bible. There's loads of stuff that's said that's just wrong. It's just not right at all. And you know, you may be wondering what I can do. What sort of things do people say? Well, I could be here for another hour or two telling you about things that people think and say which are just wrong, but a couple. The Bible, you keep talking about the scriptures, the Bible, but, you know, come on. It's not relevant today, is it? It's not relevant. It was written thousands of years ago. Everything has changed. I tell you what's not changed. One jot, one iota. Human nature. We're selfish, we're self-centered, greedy, full of pride. When you read the Bible, you'll see that's exactly how people were then. Read your newspaper today, that's exactly how people are today. Nothing, I tell you, nothing has changed. And it won't change without Jesus and without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that's going to change it. The Bible is as relevant today as it ever was. And if you hear other than that, that's wrong. That's just wrong. The other thing, and it's much more subtle, and you have to listen carefully to what people are saying, but you sometimes hear people saying, well, you know, being saved, being right with God, doing the right thing, all of these things. Yes, it's Jesus and something else. It's Jesus and something else. That's wrong. That's just wrong. Jesus did everything that was necessary when he died on the cross. Everything. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. He did everything. It's not Jesus and. It's Jesus. Full stop. He did it. Everything. However, what you would expect to see, the fruit that you would expect to see, the response that you would expect to see from somebody who authentically accepts Jesus as their Savior, is love, essentially. That is the response. That is always the response. The response is love. Love for God and love for our neighbor. That's what you would expect to see. That is the fruit. But it's a response to what Jesus did. It's not Jesus and do all these things and then that's wrong. If you hear that, and it's a subtle thing, you have to listen carefully to what people are saying. That's just wrong. And as I said, there are many others. So you may know someone and you think, do you know what? I think they've got the wrong idea here. They've got the wrong idea about God. They've got the wrong idea about Jesus and the Bible and all of these other things. They're following wrong teachings. But what can you do? What can we do? Well, the very first thing that we absolutely must do is safeguard ourselves. Because we can fall into these traps just as easy as anybody else. It doesn't matter whether you're a new follower of Jesus, a new Christian, or you've been one for years. You can fall into these traps of deceiver, troublemaker, heretic, and others. You can easily fall into the trap. So what can you do? Well, you should continue, or in some cases, I suspect, begin to read your Bible regularly, purposefully, prayerfully. You know, our great friend, Ben Davis, he was down at the Kerith for well over 40 years. He was a senior minister. Do you know, whenever we meet up with him, he always says the same thing. Soak yourself in the Bible. That's the way he puts it. Soak yourself in the Bible. And the reason he says it, and the reason we stand up here and say it again and again, is because we know, we absolutely know But that's what we need to do. And we can only protect ourselves by doing that, from falling into this trap of going the wrong way. So if you know someone that is going the wrong way, well, protect yourself first. But then definitely pray for them. Ask God to intervene in their lives and do it purposefully and regularly again. But be prepared for him to use you to do that, because God may well do that. He may well use you to do that. And be aware that we, all of us, need to continue to keep coming here regularly on a Sunday morning and other times as well. It's not, well, I'll go on Sunday morning if I'm not doing anything else. That's the wrong attitude. We need to be coming together to encourage each other, to support each other. That's what we need to be doing, lest we fall into these traps. So don't give up meeting together, as the Bible says. It's so important. And take every opportunity that is available to you to continue to grow and support you in your faith. Join a life group if you haven't. I'm in a life group. It's great. I really look forward to it. I had some great conversation. Really, really helped me. And I would encourage you to do the same. We've recently been running prayer courses. Many of us have been on it. Take the opportunity. But don't just go on the course. Do what you learn, obviously, as well. And there'll be other things that we're doing. And if you're here this morning and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, a follower of Jesus, can I really, really encourage you to come along on the 6th of March to the start of the Alpha course. Sign on to the Alpha course. It's brilliant. It's been running for many years in many countries. And so many people have come to know Jesus through the Alpha course. Really. And if you've got friends that, you know, you think they're going down the wrong path, not doing the right thing, get them to come along 6th of March. There's details if you want. But we are running it, and it would be really important if you would do that. Do you know, Jesus once told the story of the importance of building your house on firm foundations. Build the house on the rock, he said. Don't build it on sand. And of course, that applies to our lives as well. We need to build our lives on the rock, on the truth, which is that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again in 3 days. That is the truth. That is the rock. And don't be lured into traps that people set, people who propose an alternative way. They must be resisted, or the house will come down with a crash.